This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Alethea Katzman. That's a wrap on this year's Mackinac Policy Conference. And while the week was pretty quiet, there was an announcement that piqued our interest. Governor Gretchen Whitmer announced that there will be more housing and energy savings coming to Michigan.
We announced yesterday that we've got this aggressive $367 million to bring down the cost of energy for 28,000 families. That is a real way that we're helping people save money and address carbon, you know, that emissions. Mm-hmm. When we focus on housing, we're aggressively changed our goal yesterday by 53%. It's much more aggressive, 115,000 new or refurbished homes all across Michigan, affordable housing. This is how we get people who are unhoused housed. This is how we create opportunity for people who want to get one of the jobs that we've been able to announce over the last few years.
Now, this is part of a big push and focus by Democrats on economic development. While on the island, I spoke with Speaker of the House Joe Tate, and he said economic development is a huge priority after the budget, of course.
We're still looking at ways to lower costs for Michigan residents. I mean, we know that there continues to be a need. I think Democrats have been leading on that and hearing Michigan residents around that. But we know that, you know, we can do more things around that as well. And economic development is always, you know, there as well, because we've been working on it, again, for since the beginning of this legislative session. So seeing what comes out of ongoing conversations there, too. But top of mind, first and foremost, is going to be getting a budget done for Michigan.
So, Alethea, what do you make of all this? How much do you think can reasonably get done right now?
So I think this economic development proposal is really interesting and is trying to appeal to everyone. So this would set up a dedicated revenue stream to the state's larger fund that goes toward corporate incentives for a decade. But it puts less money there than currently is steered, and then puts hundreds of millions toward things like transit, childcare, housing to improve communities where, you know, these businesses would set up. So it's still likely a heavy lift. Democrats have some steep disagreements when it comes to economic development, especially in the House. And I don't know how many Republicans will cross over, but I think there's enough here where all sides are kind of like, do we want to do this month?
I mean, and it is really tricky, especially right now in the current political climate, to have something that is a truly bipartisan effort. And it seems like that's something that this might end up requiring, given the number of Democrats that are just not 100% on board with this. So it'll be interesting to see if they're able to woo the requisite number of Republicans. And they've got about a month to do this before lawmakers are expected to head back to their districts for the summer and campaigning. So there's not a lot of time. The Senate passed something similar, and Governor Gretchen Whitmer did not sound super keen on taking a chunk of money away from incentives. She seems a little bit more open to it now, though, right?
Yeah, so she praised the legislature for putting a plan forward when the House Democrats announced that this week. So it certainly wasn't closing the door to it, kind of the way it was seemed like it was heading a couple of months ago. I think, you know, this 10-year stream of funding toward the incentives is a huge want for Whitmer. I think she wants to make sure that there's something sustainable, that regardless of sort of what's going on in the legislature, this money will still be moving toward those projects. But, you know, like you said, we have a month to go here and the budget is looming. So this economic development plan and whatever else the legislature wants to throw at the wall are going to be, you know, long days trying to get that done, potential horse trading, you know, it's going to be busy.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, but we spoke with your Gong War colleague, Elena Dernbaugh, about her experiences on Mackinac Island. And we also talked about my experiences as well and all of the interviews that I did with various lawmakers. We are going to get to that interview right after this break.
Welcome back to Mishmash. I'm Alethea Kasvin, and today I have my co-host Shayna Roth and Gong War colleague Elena Dernbaugh joining me fresh from Mackinac Island for this year's policy conference. Thank you both for being here.
Hello, Alethea.
Hello, relatively fresh.
Well, Lena, you're still there. I luckily got back home last night and am feeling probably more refreshed than you.
So, you know, for both of you who were there or still are there for you, Elena, what was the big news to come from this year's conference?
For sure. So we've had a lot of conversation about housing and economic development. That's really been the big headline items of the conference is how do we increase the housing we have here in Michigan and how do we get businesses into Michigan to grow population, because it all ties into that Growing Michigan Together report.
And for me, I felt like there wasn't a whole lot of like, ooh, breaking news, we didn't know about this, or this is going to like change the world or change the direction of anything. But I did have a lot of interesting conversations. And one of those was with Attorney General Dana Nessel. And one of the really interesting things that we talked about is her work on preventing people from being scammed. So your robocalls, data breaches, etc. And I pointed out that one of the big areas we've seen this recently is with hospitals, the most recent being the Ascension data breach that just threw all of these hospitals into chaos. But when it comes to legislating this type of thing, Nessel said there isn't a whole lot of enthusiasm. And she kind of pointed to, you know, look around the island right now.
Shana, look around. Look around right now. You have a lot of people that, we're here because of the Chamber of Commerce, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, even when it's best for the people of our state, you know, why would you want to have to hold yourself to certain restrictions and certain guidelines that you now don't have to? So if right now you don't have to report a data breach and you can't be fined in the event that you failed to report it or in the event that you failed to engage in best practices to protect your customers, why would you want that kind of accountability?
Shana, you also asked Nessel and a couple other lawmakers and officials about the upcoming election. Democrats still seem optimistic, but we just keep hearing about this enthusiasm gap. Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist was not concerned, however, about a lack of excitement for Biden.
So campaigns are about the future, first and foremost. They're about, you know, what we're talking about and who's talking about it. I think with this campaign here this year, one, you're going to see the presence of the vice president and the president a whole lot in the state of Michigan. And that has been evidenced already here in 2024. And I think what this election is about is for people to understand that our vision for the future includes them. The biggest difference between, especially on the national level, Democrats and Republicans, I think, is that the Democratic vision actually includes everyone. It is big enough for all of us. And the Republican vision is trying to find ways to exclude people.
Yeah, but there is a sort of growing concern, or maybe the concern has already been there for quite a while, and it probably should be, that the reaction to this election and claims of a stolen election will be a repeat of 2020. This is also something that I spoke about with Nessel quite a bit.
I think it's a precarious set of circumstances when you have people who here, we allege, have engaged in, conduct in which they were trying to overturn a free, fair, accurate election for the presidency of the United States. And I think, unfortunately, it tends to embolden people when, you know, there are these extreme delays, and where you have a situation where here we are, we're going into the next election, and yet virtually nobody's been held accountable for all of these illegal acts during the course of the last election. So, of course, we'd like to see that expedited to the extent that we possibly can.
It is an election year, so of course, I think we're all thinking back to 2020 with this rematch coming up this year. And there's a big U.S. Senate race this year, although there was no debate that was originally supposed to happen on the island. Still, you know, there's lots of election talk, plenty of fundraisers. You know, Elena, you talked to House Speaker Joe Tate about the House Democrats defending their majority this year. What did he have to say about that?
Absolutely. He said that now is the time for House Democrats to go out and tell the story of what they've done. They passed a lot of legislation in the first year of the term. They've slowed down since January, but he said that's necessary because part of the job is to go out and campaign. He's feeling very confident in the ability of Democrats to maintain their majority because of the amount they were able to do in the first half of the year. And he said that House Republicans in their tendency to vote no on everything that goes up in the board in the House have shown what the alternative is. So he feels pretty good about the message that House Democrats have to bring to Michigan residents.
I have noticed that despite Democrats saying that, you know, Joe Biden's good, he's our guy, we're really confident in him, they keep coming back to the idea of we're gonna focus on the message and we're gonna tell the story of what Democrats can do. And I'm really curious to see if that tactic of being like, yes, this is Biden, but also like, let's really focus on what we've done, is going to be successful.
Well, and it was interesting because Tate did mention that he felt good about Joe Biden being on top of the ticket because he has taken specific interest in Michigan and listening to Michigan residents. So he seemed to think that it was enough that Biden is interested in Michigan, combined with that messaging of what Democrats have done in Michigan would be enough to carry them through.
It's an interesting balance, I think, when you're a legislator, because you want to have the top of the ticket, but sometimes it can help you and sometimes it can hurt you. And sometimes it's just a neutral factor. So I think, you know, what House candidates try to do, House Republicans have been doing this for years with kind of unpopular top of the ticket candidates the last few cycles, is just let's tell the story of what we do in the Capitol and use the top of the ticket when it's beneficial to us. So, you know, we'll see how that all works out this year with two kind of unpopular candidates at the top. You know, Elena, you mentioned at the top about economic development. Some House Democrats launched a proposal this week to sort of get long-term funding into economic development and sort of try to split the difference, I think, between corporate incentives and more community funding. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So this plan, the two main sponsors on it are Rep. Jason Hoskins and Rep. Jason Morgan, is the culmination, they said, of the past year and a half of conversations about economic development and what strategies are needed. This rules out a long-term economic development plan. It funds SOAR and other items over the next 10 years rather than just being an annual kind of fund to pull from. And it doesn't just provide dollars for big businesses, but also focuses on housing, transit, and community development, which, again, they were pointing to the Growing Michigan Together report that said these are things that are needed to actually successfully develop Michigan's economy and attract people to the state. So this aims to be a long-term rollout that is sustainable, that goes along with the other economic development proposals that the legislature is still talking about, be that the research and development incentives, SOAR, Make It in Michigan, Hire Michigan, the Innovation Fund. This is another tool in the toolbox, is what Morgan and Hoskins are saying. And they seem to have the interest of a lot of their fellow House Dems. Speaker Tate said that it was an attractive plan and kind of echoed some of the same sentiments. And they're hopeful that they can get it off before they leave for the summer.
And Elena, you're Gongwer's lead reporter on all things in the State House. I mean, do you think they're actually going to be able to take this all the way before they break for summer? I mean, they have been so hyper fixated on the budget recently, and they still don't have it done. They're really just kind of, in some ways, not even quite at the halfway point with the budget.
Based on the pace they've been moving, it feels like a major policy push like this is very ambitious. That being said, Tate did seem to have sounded interested in this proposal. So with the help of the speaker, and if there's some quick movement there, I think its chances are better. But with the pace they've been going at, it's an election year. There's been tension in the House, both between House Republicans and House Democrats and within the Democratic caucus all year. Big policy issues seem like a stretch, but economic development is something that from the start of the year, everyone thought they might be able to pull together. So because of that, maybe they'll get something off before the end of June.
Another huge issue right now is housing. Governor Whitmer announced the state already met its goal of setting the stage for 75,000 more housing units and is now doubling it to 115,000. Elena, can you tell us about how much housing was a focus at this year's conference?
It's definitely been a focus. I mean, that was one of the main press events from the porch this year was Whitmer's announcement about housing and her intent to double the amount of building that is being done in Michigan. It has tied into so many different conversations. Again, going back to that economic development piece, a main point that people keep bringing up is that we can bring businesses into the state all we want, but if there's nowhere for people to live for those businesses, then it doesn't matter. I've had a number of reps talk about how in their district they have people accepting jobs, but then they end up turning them down because there's nowhere to live. So I think that, you know, with that knowledge, the emphasis on housing has been pretty significant because we're facing a significant challenge. I mean, you know, I think during the panel with Chuck Todd here yesterday, he said that that should be something that's being talked about at the presidential level, a national level, the housing crisis we're facing. So it's a topic everyone's aware of up here this year. And with different proposals, people are rolling out different ways to try to address it.
It's interesting that given that that's clearly a purposefully decided ahead of time, like main focus of this year's conference, that we haven't seen like the really big breaking news coming from that. I mean, there's been those proposals, but even the proposals that have been offered, they're kind of an extension of old proposals or of old things that they've been doing. I guess, is anybody like disappointed that there's just not as much coming from the conference this year?
You know, I don't know. I think as we talked about in our other Mackinac episode, it's been a long time since we've had like really, really breaking news coming out of the conference. I mean, maybe the biggest thing this year is something that just happened a few minutes ago or a few hours ago with Mayor Mike Duggan making an endorsement in the 13th U.S. House District. And that's, you know, more election related than policy. You know, and I think with housing, it is such a huge issue, but you also like, it takes time to fix it, right? Like, we need more affordable housing. We need more housing. That's not something where the governor can say, I just built 100,000 affordable homes in Mackinac City just now. Huge
Maybe
news.
Next year. Wouldn't that be fun? If she's just like, actually, guys, we have bought this plot of land. We now have all of these nice new apartments. Ta-da!
Well, my goodness, do you think that after 2019 with Otto Nofalt, they're a little bit hesitant to roll out any huge new policy?
I mean, that's a really good conference. That's a really good point, because that was like their whole like big, we're going to sign this here. I mean, yes, they didn't pass the legislation there, but they made like such a huge, and I think that's what I feel like is missing. There's not like this big, huge, like, hey, look at this bright, shiny object that they're doing this time around. And I think you might be right. I think they found that, you know, in the aftermath of that, the Otto Nofalt was
Otto Nofalt. Is still haunting it's people still at haunting this them. Island. There was a it protest is. Yesterday down at the docks.
Yes. Well, yeah. And to your, Shayna, during our last Mackinac episode, you asked if anything was going to be signed this year. So I think the answer was no. I don't think the governor signed anything. And then last year she did sign the Population Council, which some people were really excited about, but also got a lot of flack as like, not a big, huge deal and just kind of trying to kick the same problem down the road. So I think, you know, it's hit or miss on big, big items coming from the conference and how successful they are. So with both of you covering the conference for the first time this year, you know, what did you make of it? Did it live up to the hype?
I mean, in some ways, you know, there are a lot of people from a lot of different walks of the Lansing bubble here. You can run into senators, lawmakers, reps, lobbyists, whoever, and everyone is kind of in one place. I think that, like, we've been talking about the lack of anything exceptionally newsworthy breaking news has been something that, you know, I didn't necessarily expect. A lot of it feels like, remember those conversations that we've had and they didn't go as far as we wanted them to go. We're going to pull that back out and talk about it again. So that's been a bit of a surprise, but the Grand Hotel is a lovely place.
I mean, I think I echo all of that. I mean, it's an interesting place to be. You know, there is a weird summer camp vibe going on, particularly given that once you're on the island, it's really annoying to have to leave and come back. So there's just people just kind of are a little bit stuck here. And being able to see and have kind of access to all of these different lawmakers and politicos and everything is neat. Is it worth all of it? Probably not for me, is my thinking. Like, there just hasn't been the news coming out of it or the, you know, that sort of drama. I think this is really one of those things where it's more for the behind the scenes people to like do their networking, do their glad handing, and then everybody goes home. That being said, I got a very big swag bag full of stuff that I don't even know what's all in there.
And I think another nice thing is that in a different setting, I've found lawmakers are a little bit more relaxed when talking to them. They're a little bit more interested in kind of chatting and answering questions. And there's not kind of, I don't know, the same officialness of the House floor. Yeah. And also, if they're avoiding me, I can actively chase them down, which is not a luxury that you have at the Capitol. So, like you said, pros and cons.
They have to swim away on the exactly. island. They can't get away from Elena.
I will find you on this island. There's only so far you can go.
Well, Shayna and Elena, thank you so much for joining me. I hope you guys can get some post-Mackinac rest this weekend.
Yes, ma'am.
Will be needed. Appreciate it.
Thanks again to our guest, Elena Dernbaugh from The Amazing Gong Work. Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station, in collaboration with the Gongwer News Service. Mishmash is hosted and produced by me, Shayna Roth, and Gongwer's Zach Gorchow, and the beautiful Olivia Kasman.
Additional production and editing by Hearns Laguerre Jr., mixing, mastering, and music by Sam Bobian.
Our digital team is Dave Kim, Sophia Joswiak, and Jenny Sherman. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. As always, if you listen to this show and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review or comment wherever you listen. You can also subscribe or follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell your friends how much you've learned from Mishmash and please send them a link. Learn more about Gongwer News Service at gongwer.com.
Remember, we're produced by a public radio station, which means we are listener supported. So if you really, really like this podcast, you can support WDET by going to wdet.org/give. We'll talk to you next week.